From KXCV KRNW, it's Now Showing with your host, Patty Hawley.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. Today, we'll meet the people working to promote area arts events and artists. The Rubidoux Resident Theater has a dinner theater production this weekend, and tomorrow is the first Friday of August. That means area artists will be the main attraction in downtown St. Joseph tomorrow evening. Stay with us for more details coming up on Now Showing. The Allied Arts Council of St. Joseph has been bringing arts and people together since 1963. It's the second oldest arts council in the state of Missouri. Teresa Fankhauser is the executive director of the council. She says since its inception, the organization has been working to benefit area arts organizations and emerging artists.
At one point, we actually had an art gallery, and then we were instrumental in helping the Albrecht Kemper get started, so the art moved there. We also helped with other groups as they were coming along and emerging. And so we've grown and changed as time, as things have changed, you know. And so we've just kind of grown and to fit the needs of our community. We have 18 member agencies that are not just arts, but also culture. We have several of the museums are members as well, because we do want to focus on both culture as well as the arts. And we then also have several of our own programs. One of our biggest programs is the Arts Fund, and it raises money to support agencies who apply for funding. This year we funded 9 member agencies, and that allows them to spend more time doing what they do rather than having to spend a lot of time raising funds. Now, we obviously can't raise all of the money that everybody needs, although, that is our ultimate goal, but it is always a goal that's just out of reach. So we keep working on that, but this does free them up so that they don't have to spend as much time doing their own fundraising. We also have arts education programs because the arts are so important to our community and for their longevity, and arts education has been proven to be so beneficial to a child's overall development. And kids who are involved in the arts do better in school. They're less likely to miss school, because if they miss school, they might miss a fun arts project. It helps them with teamwork. Kids who are involved in the arts learn to work together well. It helps with problem-solving capabilities. Students who are in band do really well in math. Those are the types of connections that we have. And so we work to help extend the arts programs that the schools already supply through our Artists in the Schools program, where we actually take artists into the classroom. And that art, they might go into a classroom that's teaching history and use art to relate to what's being taught by the teacher. So it's not just artists going into art classes or theater classes, but actually going into core curriculum to help teach that subject and help give a new experience to that subject. We also have an arts education program that's called Artscape in the summer, which actually will be taking place the first week of August, and we are still accepting enrollment. Artscape is a week-long summer arts camp for children at Missouri Western that we use their facilities, and we take our artists out there to work with the kids. It's a wonderful program that kids from all over Northwest Missouri attend. The other programs that we have are visual arts programs, where we do an artist art for the health of it, where we take art out into the hospitals, and when we have 2 exhibits each year that are competitive, so the artists that enter have an opportunity to win awards for their artwork, and then we also take the winners of those every 2 years and have what we call our art for business sake, where we then take the art out into the community as well. In addition to that, we also work with the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., Partners in Education, where we bring a teaching artist into the classrooms and work with teachers. Last couple of years, it's been with Reader's Theater, using Reader's Theater to teach core subjects. It has just been amazing. It really has helped teachers teach some subjects that are sometimes difficult for the children to grasp. It also helps with literacy, which is a major issue in our society today, and helps improve the literacy scores of students. So those are the programs that we have. Additionally, we work really closely with our member agencies to assist them.
You focus a lot on education and the schools, mm-hmm. but how does the Allied Arts Council make an impact on the community as a whole?
Mm. Well, we do that in several ways. We work with our member agencies to help get the word out about what we have to offer, and which is we have such a rich resource in all of our arts organizations and our cultural organizations. So we communicate through newsletters, through email marketing. We also help find what are the community needs. We're in the process of beginning to work on a community-wide cultural plan that will help set the course for where we want to go from here. And when I say we, I mean as a community, because we think it's important not just to do what we think is important or what the other arts organizations think, but to find out what the community wants. You know, what are we lacking that we can provide for our community? So we're just in the beginning stages of starting the research and surveys and, meetings with a variety of different people to see where we can go and what we can do to improve what we have to offer. The other important role that the council takes up is advocacy for the arts on a state and national level, making sure that the arts remain an important part of our economy. In St. Joseph, we're an $8.3 million industry. That's substantial. And we have to remind people that the arts are valuable not only for the quality of life that we provide, but also for the economic value. We bring tourists to our community. Trails West is a great example. About 25% of everyone who visits Trails West, they're from out of town. And when they come from out of town, they're going to stay at hotels, they're going to eat in our restaurants, they're going to fill up their gas tanks at our stores, they're going to go shopping. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And that doesn't apply just for Trails West. It also, a lot of the theater companies, Performing Arts Association, Ruby Resident Theater, the Symphony, all of those have people coming in from out of town. The Albrecht Kemper Museum and the St. Joseph Museum regularly have tour buses coming to their facilities. So it's an important aspect as well.
Again, Teresa Fankhauser is the executive director of the Allied Arts Council of St. Joseph. She adds this year's Trails West is scheduled for August 21st through the 23rd at Civic Center Park in St. Joseph. We'll have more on that festival next week. Rubidoux Resident Theater in St. Joseph will be examining lessons in how to live during this weekend's dinner theater production of Tuesdays with Maury. Executive Director of Rubidoux Resident Theater, Jeff Haney, says the play by Mitch Albom is a timeless story.
This play is really about friendship. A young college student makes a great friendship with one of his professors. And then time passes, about 15, 20 years passes, and he thought he would keep in touch with Maury, but time has gotten away from him and life has gotten busy, and he hears that Maury is ill and is going to die. And so he comes back to visit Maury, and they rekindle this relationship, and it's as if time had not passed. And so every Tuesday he meets with Maury to have what he finds out is the greatest lesson of all is about life and dying.
So is this a story about generations coming together? Or?
I think it is about generations coming together. It's about people of different faiths coming together, and certainly about a man, a young man who realizes that life may be about a lot more than just fame and money, and that it really is about the connections we make with people.
I wanted to talk a bit about the actors in this production. This is a production with only two people. That must be challenging for those two actors.
It can be very challenging, but they're two very, very talented actors also. And it is not a very long play. It's probably an hour and a half. But it does take a lot of concentration when you have you and one other person on stage at any time.
Is there anything that the audience can look for in this production that you think will be meaningful to them?
Well, I think overall it really does force us to look at the story closer as opposed to a big musical with all the lights and the special effects. And it forces us to just focus on a great story and two really talented actors.
Okay. Who are these two actors?
Jim Connors is playing Maury, and he's our communication director for the police department here in town. And then Brady Huffman is playing Mitch. And so Brady's come back from college. He's in his third year up in Iowa. And so he's been with us many times, and we're just pleased to have him back.
So these are regulars with your organization?
They have. This is Jim's third show with us. And so Jim's not he's an older gentleman, but he certainly is creating a new activity for himself here in life.
This is more than just a production. This is also a dinner theater. Is that correct?
It is. People have a choice. They certainly can see the show without dinner, but it is a dinner theater. And Ruby Doo Landing Playhouse, we're in our second year, and it's been very popular. And so we would encourage people to come have dinner with us, see the show, have a great dessert. We have a cash bar. And so it can make a full evening of the event.
When will this production be?
It is August 7th, 8th, and 9th. And so people can come on down either on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday afternoon if that works best for them, have dinner with us, and see a great show.
I assume reservations need to be made prior to this to plan for the dinners. Where can they get that information, ticket information?
They can go online at www.rrtstjoe.org, or they can give me a call at 816-232-1778.
You can also find a link to the Ruby Doo Resident Theater website from our website at kxcv.org. Tomorrow is the first Friday of August. That means it's time for the Arts Crawl in St. Joseph. Jay Kerner is publisher of the Regular Joe paper and is one of the organizers of the First Friday's Arts Crawl, which began about 10 months ago. He says this event is similar to arts crawls in bigger cities.
What happened was I had been to the First Friday's event in Kansas City, not intending to. We were down there for something else and sort of ran into it. We were really impressed with the event and the number of people that were attending and just the mood of the whole thing. But the area it was in was not nearly as nice as our downtown, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have an event like that here? So we decided to see if we could pull it off. We have, of course, the Regular Joe paper, so we wrote a piece saying, let's do this. And the phone started ringing. Artists started calling, saying, how can I be part of it, and so on. And we just sort of copied a lot of the policies and things that were being done at First Friday's events other places. It's not like it was an original idea here or anything, but it's gone very well. We started in December. We had 14 artists in 12 locations, and now that's expanded. Some months we'll have maybe 30 artists involved in the thing, and all within about a 3-block radius downtown. So you really can park your car anywhere close to the Felix Street Park, and any of the locations will have a little map of where the artists are. We have painters, we have sculptors, we have jewelry makers, caricature artists, just a wide variety of mediums. And it's just been great. In nice weather, you'll have artists out on the sidewalk showing their wares. You can stop and have a bite to eat. A lot of the places will have wine samples or, you know, hors d'oeuvres sometimes. We've had the benefit this summer of having the Friday Night Sounds of Summer concert series going on at the same time. And what we found is on nights when the art and the music coincided, man, there's something special going on downtown.
Tell me how this works then. People just go to the different businesses that are displaying this art just to enjoy it?
Absolutely. You're certainly welcome to just enjoy the art. We certainly welcome that. But most all of the art is for sale, and we do sell quite a bit of art at these events. We have some artists that have just sold things regularly. We have others that maybe it's a little more sporadic. But our goal is to first get the art out there, let people, you know, experience it firsthand. But then secondly, to give that increased traffic to the downtown businesses. We've had so many people come down for the art crawl that have said, I had no idea all this stuff was downtown. And that's really a kind of a common misperception that things are dead downtown. And they're certainly not where we'd like them to be yet, but we're moving in that direction, and the art crawl has been a big part of that.
Where do the artists who are participating in this, where are they from?
I would say most of them are local. We have some artists that maybe had been here previously and have relocated, but want to keep up a presence locally, and we'll do that. But I would say most of them come within a 100-mile radius. It is a local event.
Okay. Where and when does this start?
Well, again, the first Friday's kind of says the date. It will be the first Friday of every month, and then it runs from 5 p.m. till 9 p.m., and it's all downtown. You'll see who's lit up and where the activity is. If you come anywhere close to Felix Street Square, we'll have a number of places up and down Felix Street, on 7th, 8th, and 9th Streets, just a mixture of things. But again, all within about three blocks from beginning to end. Any of the merchants will have a map in there showing what artists are in what location to make it easy. So no matter which end of the strip you start on, you'll be able to get a map and find all the other locations.
Will the artists be there as well?
In almost all cases, we strongly encourage that. What we found is that we've had some places that will just, maybe the business itself is closed, but they'll put some art up in the window and so on. And while that's great, we'll take all of that we can get. They don't sell much that way. The ability to talk to the artist and visit, that adds something to the purchase of the art, I think. The ability to talk to them and then, you know, see what they were thinking when they came up with this or whatever it is. But that's all part of the experience of the First Friday's Art Crawl.
Do you have a vision of what this art crawl is going to look like in, say, 5 years?
Well, I've been really fortunate in that all I really did was kind of get it started. We had some really great volunteers come on. Cheryl Simonis has kind of taken the reins of this thing. She had a lot of history in working with the Trails West art program when they first got started. So she's been a huge help and has been the organizer of this thing since about the second or third month. So she's been a huge help. And then Cedar Johnson also has worked with her. And they're kind of the drivers of this thing now. So I'm trying not to impose my own vision on it per se. I am optimistic that after 10 months doing this, that it's sort of building a little momentum, and I think it's just going to continue to grow. It seems like each event we have a few more, you know, come on board and the crowds get a little bigger. I'm seeing a lot of the same faces come month to month. That tells me that they're treating it more as an event and not just as a one-time, you know, kind of thing. They put it on their calendar. They know they're going to run into a lot of people they know, and it's kind of a social thing to get out and about. So there's certainly no obligation to buy anything, but we hope that people will, and we're certainly seeing the results of that.
Jay Kerner is publisher of The Regular Joe and one of the organizers of the First Friday's Arts Crawl in St. Joseph. This year is an exciting one for the St. Joseph Symphony. After a two-year search, the symphony has a new conductor, Rico McNeela, who will debut in that position during the symphony's first performance October 3rd. I talked with the executive director of the symphony, Derek Hines, about the search and the upcoming season.
It was a long search process. We had about 40 people apply, and through that process, we were able to identify three finalists for the position. And we invited each of those finalists to come to St. Joseph to conduct a full concert with the orchestra so that they could get to learn a little bit about them, and the orchestra could learn about what the conductor was like on the stage, as well as to go through an interview process with both the symphony and with the university. The conductor is a sort of a shared position, if you will. They serve as a faculty member in the music department at Missouri Western, as well as the conductor of the St. Joe Symphony. It's a nice arrangement because we can each have something that maybe we couldn't otherwise afford. The university gets a music faculty person, in this case, someone to conduct the college orchestra and to teach individual lessons for violin and viola. Rico is a fine player, so he'll be able to work well in that capacity, as well as allowing a small orchestra like ours to have what amounts to a full-time conductor. I think other orchestras in our situation might be in a situation where they would have to bring in guest conductors on a regular basis. But this allows us to have a full-time person and some continuity. But he is a tremendous player and a very good conductor. He has worked primarily in university settings throughout his career. He most recently was at the University of Toledo, but he was also at Arkansas in Fayetteville and elsewhere, and was trained at the Cleveland Institute. This is his first opportunity to conduct a professional orchestra, and he's very excited about it. In fact, he wishes he could be here today, but he has another project that he works on. There's a music festival and camp that's held at Lake Luzerne in upstate New York that's put on by the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he's been a faculty member there for several years, and that takes up most of his summers. So he was, after accepting the position with us, he was in St. Joe for our concert in April. We had a chance to bring him out on stage and to talk about the new season. But then after he was able to move a lot of his things from Ohio, he set up a place to live here and set up his studio at the university. He then left for New York, and he's been there throughout the summer. He'll be coming back to St. Joseph right at the beginning of the school year, literally just a couple of days before it starts. That's when the next round of exciting things happens for us. In late August and throughout the month of September, we're going to be working with some auditions, looking for some additional musicians to add to our roster of possible players. We'll be doing that around the area at Northwest Missouri State and at Western and down at William Jewell and Park and UMKC. And that series of auditions will go on leading up to our first rehearsals that start in mid-September in preparation for an October concert. So it's a tight timeline, but it's a lot of good work that's going to get done over the next few months, and getting ready to give Rico his opportunity to make his official debut with the St. Joseph Symphony on October the 3rd.
Tell me a little bit about the audition process. How do musicians who are interested in becoming part of the symphony, how do they go about auditioning?
Well, there's two different kinds of auditions that we do. The ones that we're going to be doing this fall are looking for some volunteer players to help us fill some of our sections. We'll be doing additional auditions next spring and summer. Right now, because we're in that transitional phase, we're trying to keep the main core of players that we have intact and keep them there so that we have some continuity. And we'll be doing those two series of auditions over the course of the next year and a half to continue to put together the best group we have. We're very fortunate in terms of our location. St. Joseph is not a large community in terms of, you know, having a professional orchestra, but we are close to the Kansas City metro area, and we're able to draw musicians from Kansas City and from Maryville and Chillicothe and Atchison and a lot of the area nearby. Some of our players are substitute players for the Kansas City Symphony. Others are teachers who specialize in their particular instrument. So it gives us a great opportunity to find very high quality players.
How many players are you looking for, and what are you looking? What type of player are you looking for?
Well, it's open ended at this point. We're just interested in really anybody who is interested in working with orchestral music. You know, we'll put together specific dates and times at each of those locations. And you know, it's each audition is not very long. It's, you know, about a 10-minute process, but. We'll be posting information on each of the campuses as far as that, you know, the times and locations and so on. And we'll include audition information on our website as well.
Executive Director of the St. Joseph Symphony, Derek Hines, says the symphony's first performance this season is October 3rd. You can get more information about arts events in the area, including ticket information and internet links to area arts organizations, on the KXCV KRNW website at kxcv.org. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to join us next Thursday at noon on Now Showing for more information about exciting opportunities available to you. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Holly.